And thank you very much. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 92, the 92nd Psalm. Bible says, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. So this song is meant for praise and worship. That's what its full intent is, and I think that we'll get the good gist of that here. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that raise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of this psalm, the encouragement to us to be reminded of these truths and then to praise and worship you because of them. And then the privilege that is ours to do those things, worship and praise you. Lord, we're thankful for the folks that are here this morning. And as we approach into this psalm, I pray that we would be taught, that our hearts and minds would be opened. God, I pray that you'd give me unction, clarity of thought, and ability to communicate, because there's no way that I can do this without your Holy Spirit. And God, it would be an empty try to do it. And I pray that you would be glorified and praised and lifted up because of the things that are learned here today, and that our hearts would be stirred. And if there's anyone here that has never accepted you, that they would see how wonderful it is to join in praise, because we know who you are. We can only know you through your plan. So I pray that you'd bring to our mind in every verse the truth of who you are. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said, this psalm is written specifically for the going to the tabernacle and then going later to the temple. Isaac Watts wrote a song about this psalm. It's called Psalm 92, and the words go, "Sweet is the work, my God, my King, to praise thy name, give thanks and sing. To show thy love by morning light and talk of all thy truth at night." There are many other verses, but that's the one that jumped out at me. It's the very first one. And this psalm has to do with our attitude when we consider why we come to worship or why we praise. It's to draw attention to the reason for, let's just say, this church. What is the reason? Why do we come? We get caught up in a lot of things concerning church. We get caught up in the fellowship, and that's part of it, but that's not the reason. We get caught up in the preaching, and that's good. That's a reason to come, and it's a reason church was designed and the way that it was set up. But it's not the main reason we come. Singing. Some people come for the choir. That's a nice reason. It's great to have a wonderful choir and folks that work so hard to play the instruments. It's a blessing to be involved in that, but that's not why we're here. We're not here to dress good. We're not here to brag. We're not here to be somebody or say, well, at least I went to church today. There's a reason why we do this. And for Christians, from what I have taken from this, this is something that should be done in our everyday life, because it should be our heart's thought, our heart's desire every day to do this, not because of Temple Baptist Church or anything that goes on here, but because of God being God. The fact that God, you go, well, Brother Ron, I mean, this is just like all the other Psalms. They're all about God. That's what makes the Psalms so intriguing, because they can be all about you and your problem, and they always turn to God and His solution. It's sad to see people in the world go through life without any presence of God, any knowledge of God. And that's addressed in this psalm. In fact, very directly and with words that nobody likes to use. So the Bible says here in verses 1 through 5, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. I've entitled this message, Days Filled with a Good Thing. Wouldn't you like to have a day that was just good because you did a good thing that day? Now, we're always looking for good things to do for people. Well, I did a good thing today. I gave a dollar to a person that needed a dollar. Or I did a good thing today. A lady couldn't find her wallet and she was in line, and I paid for her stuff. Or I did a good thing today. And I'm not saying that you're telling people this. I'm saying you're saying it to yourself. I did a good thing. I witnessed to somebody. I did a good thing. I gave a tract to somebody. You know what the Bible says? It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing to every day of our life, for every day of our life, to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name. Now, there's two names given here. The first one is you're giving thanks to the Lord. Why is it a good thing to give thanks to the Lord? Because He's Jehovah. He's the ever-existent one. He's the great I Am. He is, was, and is to come. He always has been and always will be. He is the Lord. He's the ever-existent one. He is the deliverer. He is the Lord who has made Himself available to every man to have a relationship with Him. In the Old Testament, you just simply had to follow His plan in the law. That's how they had a relationship with Him. It was fellowship when you walked with Him, and when you didn't, you were walking in darkness. Well, it's very much the same today in the dispensation of grace. You get saved, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You acknowledge that you're a sinner, that He's the only Savior, that He died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You acknowledge those things, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great reason to give thanks. Why? Because I don't have to keep the law. And immediately the Holy Spirit of God moves in and seals us until the day of the redemption, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 1. Immediately we have fellowship. We have the ability to walk with Him in the light as He is in the light. He's the Lord. He's the deliverer. He is the ever-existent one. And yet, all He's ever wanted to do with man is have a relationship. And He's made Himself available every kinds of ways to have a relationship with man. And there's now this way, the only way now, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, why is that so significant? Well, tell me in the world, just the way the world is going, if you focus on what's going on in the world, would you be prone to give thanks? Or would you be prone to be down in the mouth and angry all the time? I mean, you might be sitting next to your wife or husband, and you say, well, I'm thankful for my wife or husband. Or maybe not. They may have made you mad today on the way to church. Or you could say, I'm thankful for my children. If you have grandchildren, you're going to say this. I'm thankful for my grandchildren. Maybe you're thankful for your dog. But you can't, listen, you can't be thankful for the state of affairs in the world. Not on your own. You could say this, I'm thankful I don't live in Israel, but that's kind of bad, isn't it? And how long will that last? Well, I'm thankful my IRA is up. Well, I'm thankful that everything else is up too. See, people, we talk as believers about, well, you're supposed to be thankful. Well, this is telling us why we can be thankful. Not why we should be thankful, why we can be thankful. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because when you're giving thanks unto the Lord, there's a lot of things to give thanks for. I mean, salvation. You can say, well, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for this. All of those things can pass away. All of the worldly things that we look at that we call tangible, these things are all going to fade away. Our health is going to fade away. It just is. I mean, if you're in your teens to your, I'll just go as high as 40, maybe 45. 50's pushing it, but even 50, you could be saying, man, I feel good. I'm very thankful for my health. You can say that, but I can tell you when you're 90, your health is going to fail. Why? Because your body is getting old. It doesn't matter how many vitamins you take. And so if you're dependent on your body being good, your thanksgiving is going to run out. But you can always give thanks to the Lord. So very, very specifically, it says, give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. O Most High is the Creator. You are God. There is no one like you. There is none else. O Most High puts him in a position that no one can attain to. No God of the universe, no God of the world, no God created by man. No, Satan himself cannot be compared to the Most High. There's no God as powerful. And this is the God that you and I can have a personal relationship with. It should be easy for us to give thanks. Now, let's keep in mind, when is this psalm supposed to be sung? On the Sabbath. When you're on your way. In fact, that song that I quoted there, the first verse from Isaac Watts, was the most popular hymn in the 1800s, after he wrote it, that was sung in churches all over England. They started and ended every service with verses of that song. Because it was important to them that they had the attitude of thanksgiving and praise to the Most High. Because truly, if you know what was going on in the world at that time, come on, the 1800s was not exactly a time I want to live. But if you think of all the things that they had experienced and they're focusing, Christians were focusing on worshiping the Most High, worshiping the Lord. And then it clearly states there how to do it in verse number 2 and 3. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Why am I giving thanks and praising God? It's spelled out. To show forth, wait, to whom? To whom am I showing this out? To meme? No, to show. To show. Wow, that person's thankful all the time. Why are they thankful? Because I want to show God's loving kindness. I want to show the Lord more than I want to show myself. I am consumed with showing your loving kindness. So I'm going to start off in the morning. Stephen has become more of a morning person, maybe. As you get older, I have become a morning person because I can't sleep past a certain time. So it doesn't matter. I mean, if it's dark, you're going to get up. But I wasn't a morning person. Rachel is not a morning person. Twyla, she's a morning person. She'd come in and wake people up and sing songs and good morning, good morning. And then you're like, does she have to be awake? Now, if it's 5:30 and she's still in bed, she's sick. That's how I've gotten to know her. I mean, if she's in bed, she's sick. You go, 5:30, what's wrong with her? Exactly. And so so what if you're not a morning person? Should you come to church and watch? How you doing this morning? You doing all right? Glad you're here. Oh, you can't imagine the day I had yesterday. All righty. Thanks for showing forth the loving kindness. Do you know how much I hate that woman? She is sitting in my seat. I use that because that's what Miss Rainey said one time. Thank you for showing forth the loving kindness of the Lord. Wait, wait, wait. That's why we come to church. Not only to show forth the loving kindness of the Lord to people who are unsaved, by being welcoming, not judgmental, not having an attitude, but also to the saved who may have started off with a bad day, and you're reminding them loving kindness of the Lord's a reason to be thankful. What do you mean the loving kindness? It's exactly what it means. He's loving and he's kind all at once. How do you know he's loving and he's kind? Did you wake up this morning? Pretty simple. You woke up this morning. Boy, that's loving kindness. Some people don't. Well, what should I use this day for? Something good. What would be good? What can I do good today? Show forth the loving kindness of the Lord in the morning. Well, Brother Ron, this seems like just a happy message. It is happy. It should be for Christians easy. Why? We have the Holy Spirit of God in us saying, you know, you can be thankful even though you don't feel well today. You can be thankful. You know, I'm not saying it other than the reason he's here. Brother Charlie had surgery on his toes, and he's here this morning. And when I talked to him, he didn't go, oh. He goes, hey, we made it! Now, you can laugh at that. You can say, oh, you know what? That's encouraging to me. Why? Because someday I can do that. Hey, we made it! It's okay to be thankful. Why? Because God is full of loving kindness. That's not a mockery at all. That's an excited, thrilling thing to see. When people you know don't want to be here are here, and you don't want to be here, and you have no problems, you need to see some loving kindness. Other people need to see loving kindness of the Lord. This isn't something I manufacture or you manufacture. This is an observation of who God is. See, it doesn't depend on my emotion. It's all about who God is, not who I want God to be, who God actually is. He is full of loving kindness. His eyes are roaming to and fro, looking upon the earth, looking for righteous people to bless. He's constantly looking for relationship. He's using everything in our lives to draw us closer to Him. Everything, no matter how horrible it is, God is trying to draw you close to Him. That's His desire. Some of us say, well, He's trying to teach me a lesson. Yes, He's trying to teach us all a lesson every day, all the time, of how wonderful He is. Well, you don't know why I'm going through this. Because God is wonderful. And He's trying, He loves you, and He's just trying to get you to just lean over on Him. No, He loves us so much that no matter how we respond to Him, He's always coming back, trying to get us to be restored into that relationship with Him. His desire is for us to recognize His loving kindness every morning and Thy faithfulness every night. Have you ever considered this? Whenever I read this, I thought, faithfulness every night. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you think about it just logically, which it's amazing that when you think of it logically and then you put it together with what's in the Bible, it's very simple. It means you made it through the day. God was faithful. You made it through that day. It's nighttime. You go home, you sit down, watch. You sit down with your family. It's been a rough day at work. The kids want to talk. They're all yammering. You kids keep it down! Thanks for showing God's faithfulness. Brother Ron, you don't know how hard it is. No. This has nothing to do with the circumstance. It's who God is. He's faithful. He brought me through this day. There are things that He took me around that I had no idea He was taking me around. There are things He prevented in my life. He prevented me from messing up my life today. And that doesn't mean I'm going to listen tomorrow. But today, He's just faithful. It's not now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It's not that. It's God, thank You for being faithful and showing Yourself faithful today and showing Yourself that You are full of loving kindness. I don't know what You've protected me from. And folks, if you knew everything God protected you from, maybe we'd be more thankful. But we should, again, watch. Our children don't need to see negativity. They need to see God's faithfulness. Kids, we're eating here tonight. You know why? Because God's faithful. But it's only popcorn. It's food. Why? Because God's faithful. Well, I don't like it. But God's faithful. I don't like, I do like broccoli actually, but when you put broccoli in front of a kid, I don't want to eat those little trees. Well, you're going to eat them because they're good for you. That never works, people. Here's what you say. You should be thankful because that's what God put in front of you to eat tonight. And so God's been faithful to give it to you. Are you going to be faithful to eat it? And the kid's still not going to get it, but keep teaching them that way. Why? Because God does give us everything, everything. You have nothing, nothing that you can brag about. Neither do I. Nothing. Here's the way it should be. It should be able to be gone tomorrow, and God is still faithful. When my heart and attitude is that, I come to church differently. We're going to have church tonight. Do you know that? 6:00. You know why? So you can show that God's faithful. I've made it. Then when you get home and you didn't hit a deer, God was faithful. And if you did hit the deer, you got the harvest tag and God was faithful. Well, I don't want that. Well, you should not leave a meal on the road. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking how much joy there is in just looking at God. It doesn't matter. The circumstances don't matter. The worst. We went and visited Brother Les Allen yesterday. He's laughing. And I told the Hilltoppers, it could have been the drugs. I'm not certain. I don't think it was. But we were laughing. We were carrying on. He's just thankful. He was thankful. It's amazing when you know, he's been through some already pretty tough physical stuff, very tough. And he wasn't laying up there going, oh, here we go again. He goes, here's what Kathy told me the night before. You know, I just know that God's faithful. If we just pray, he'll take care of it. You go, why does that draw tears? Because that should be our first response, not our second or third or, oh, yeah. And not, this shouldn't be something we're made to do. It's something that we do because we are very familiar with who God is. In fact, that's what the next verse says, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. On instruments, I'm going to make these things known. I'm going to sing about your works. I'm going to sing about you. I will triumph in the works of thy hands, because I am aware, God, that you are working around me. All of the time, God is working. He's never not working. When you're asleep, God is working. When you're awake, God is working. Psalm 139 is very clear about God's awareness of us. We should be aware of, we live in a completely unaware society today. People just are so, swallowed up with entertainment, with games, with sports, with their lives, with their children, that when God starts working, no one says, well, this is what God did. For instance, you had a great week at work and there was a lot of money. Let's say you're a business owner and you know you put away a bunch of money today and now your bank account is growing, and you have two responses. You can say, God did it, or you can be like the fool who said, hey, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, I've got it all. Look what I did. God said, oh, no. I'll take that away now. Why? He was unaware that the reason that he was successful was not his work. Well, I'm the one who puts in the hours. Who gives you the jobs? Well, I'm the one who has skills. Who gives you the health? Well, I was the one who was wise enough to invest. Who gave you the wisdom and the contacts? Well, I'm pretty smart. Think about your attitude and then know this. No. God was the one doing the work. And he gave it to you to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness in the evening. We often, man, look what this church has survived. Look what's been done. Look what we've done. No. God's done it all. Just as in salvation, no man will stand up there and go, I'll bet you're glad that I accepted you. You won't. All you're doing, the Bible says, that's simply obedience. And nobody gets credit. Did you know in the Bible there's no credit for obedience? It's expected. Obedience is expected. You pay your children to obey, you are teaching them wrong ethics. You should never do something, be obedient. Well, if I do this, if I clean my room, what will you give me? A life? If I mow the yard, I mean, my dad never said, if you mow the yard, I'll give you $10. I never heard that. This is what I heard. Go mow the yard. Until I ran over a brick and broke the shaft in the mower. Then he said, don't mow the yard anymore until your brothers pick it up. And then I had to mow the yard anyway. It never crossed my mind as a kid to act, but in this day and age, you have to be paid to be obedient. No. Obedience is expected. Why? Because when you obey, God said, I'm working. You'll be aware. When you're obedient, you're going to be aware that I'm working. God's doing amazing things in the world today, and Christians are completely unaware. Satan knows that God is working in the world today, and so Satan is working as well, and people are unaware. No, you, if you're not paying attention, there's a big battle going on. It's not for property. This is what the age-old battle has been all along. If I can get rid of these people, I can get rid of God. Satan's plan. Not going to happen. Not going to stop him from trying. Why? Because the closer to the end we get, the more God is going to work for his plan to take hold, and the more it's going to try to be resisted. But you know what? People are so unaware of it spiritually. We are spiritually unaware. You know why? Because we're not familiar with who God is. Listen to what it says. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Listen to these verses here. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Psalm 139, 14 and 17. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Turn to Romans chapter number 11. Just in case you think that God stopped working in the Old Testament in this way, go to Romans chapter number 11. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is so deep that there's no way to comprehend how he works. It's a whole nother reason to be thankful for his loving kindness and his faithfulness. I'm giving praise to his name because God is so deep. And for me as a human being, he's so unattainable. I cannot approach to the one that dwells in light. And yet he's given me access through his son, Jesus Christ. He's given me access by the blood of Jesus Christ, by simply accepting his plan. That's so deep that God would cause Jesus Christ to die for our sins. But he did. It's so deep. It's so unfathomable. We can't think like God can think, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And yet we get lost in what's going on in our circumstance instead of being lost in him. That's why when you start going through something and you start saying this, I just wish I knew what God was doing. Quit wishing. It's not going to happen. You'll know when you get to heaven, because we'll be exactly like him. Right now, I don't know that there's a fathomable way for us to understand with this finite mind how God is working in our life toward eternity. Because we can't even catch eternity. None of us in here can. You'll never get that until you're dead. No, that's why I'm saved. No. You can read and research the Bible, but you have no idea what heaven's going to look like, because there's no words to describe it. That's what the Bible says about it. We're so caught up sometimes with what we see rather than understanding. Right now in the Middle East, God is working. Well, what's he doing? I have no idea. But I do know this. He's working. Why? He's always working. Why? I was diagnosed with this deal. Why do you think God did that? I hear people say, well, perhaps God's judging them. You can't say that. Because we don't know. Well, the Bible does say, but when God judged in the Old Testament, he said he judged. That's the only way we know he judged. In other cases, things happen. We don't know. We can guess, but we don't know. Are there things that God judges? Yes. Are there things that God holds us accountable for? Absolutely. But taking someone's life, well, that's the reason. They live their life. No, we're all going to die. So remember when Jesus walked by and the disciples walked by the blind man that had been blind from birth? Who sinned, this man or his parents? Well, he was blind from birth, so it couldn't have been him. He had to pre-sin. How did he do that? And his parents? Is that why God did it? God said, no, he's here to glorify. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. So as God is working and we're aware, we begin to see that God's thoughts are not ours and they're very deep. But listen to... So that's the assessment of why and how and the reasoning why we do it. But listen to what it says about those who do not praise him and who are not thankful. A brutish man knoweth not... Neither doth a fool understand this. Now, because brutish is one of my favorite Bible words, because it's a word that we don't want our children to say, but you need to know that if your children are in here, I'm not trying to teach them to say this, but the definition of brutish, the very first word is stupid. And it doesn't mean like this. It actually means this. Actually, when you break it down, it means stupid, unfeeling, gross. Check this one out. Carnal. You mean it's possible for me to be saved and not understand that the Lord is great? And his works are great, and his thoughts are very deep? Yes. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, the Bible says. To be carnal means you are driven by the flesh more than the spirit. And that you are driven more for the things you can touch than the things that are driving you to eternity. You're laying up treasures on earth and not in heaven. That's why you get overprotective of, listen to this, my money. My money. Watch. Preachers say this, my people, my church, my preacher boys. Well, Brother Ron, they're just showing ownership. No. Nothing we have actually belongs to us. Had God not given it, there would be nothing there. And the carnal person does not understand God's works, so they assign them to themselves. They assign their worship to themselves. And so, worship comes about this. Watch. Worship comes about, well, I'm not being fed. Well, I have no friends there. Well, nobody really cares about me. Well, then, obviously, you forgot the first five verses because the Lord certainly does. No, that's not enough. We need people. Actually, when David had all those mighty men that came around him, and they went back to Ziklag, those guys wanted to stone him. And had he not gone away by himself and got along with the Lord and encouraged himself in the Lord, they might have done it. Because they were definitely carnal men. The Bible tells us that they were driven by their flesh. Joab was not exactly square on the beam. He did some crazy, crazy, crazy things that were not driven by spiritual decisions. In church, when we come, what? It's talking about people coming into church. Don't be brutish when you come in and act like God hasn't done something for you and be all inwardly focused about your life and how no one cares about me. Look, this is a common theme in every church today. When preachers say, well, there were three preachers up in Washington that I talked to that are church planners that had really good works going, and a family, we've experienced this, and a family in Bend, a family got upset, and they took half the church with them. And it was all because of how they handled COVID. That doesn't sound like anybody's thinking about God there. What it's thinking about is how it affected me. What I think. Well, I don't believe it's scriptural. I don't believe this. I don't believe... When it comes to church, God has order. He has structure. He has design. He has leadership. We pray for the leadership. We ask God to help us to understand how to follow. But we're not brutish and say, well, God's not working. The question is this. Did God work in COVID? You know what I think it did? For me anyway, and I'm certain it did it for you, it made me glad to come to church and see people. Where maybe I was getting to the point where it was, now it's like, ooh. Kind of makes you wonder, what are you thinking about? A carnal person driven by their flesh does not ever consider anything about God. Never considers anything God is doing, His works, His greatness, His loving kindness, His faithfulness. Those are not in my view. What's in my view as a carnal person is the person in the mirror that I see. Me. How does this affect me? How am I driven by this? What does this do for me? What's in it for me? People rarely complain about them having to talk to too many people. But they often complain about no one ever speaking to them. Well, I had to talk to so many people today. It was just a bummer. Actually, when you get around and you open yourself up and you talk to people, it encourages you. Why? Because God is working. But a brutish person and a fool, they don't understand that. They don't know that His works are great. They don't understand His thoughts are continually toward me, not away from me. His thoughts are to preserve my life, not to judge me. He is constantly working in my life for good so that I can be conformed to the image of Christ. Everything that happens in my life is because of Him. Verse number 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, Thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, Thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. When the brutish and the foolish rise up and they begin to think that they're in control. You need to watch this. It's going on right in front of our eyes today. You are seeing spiritual warfare unfold in what's going on in the world between God's people, and Israel is still God's people, and Satan. Call them whatever you want to call them. I'll tell you who they are. The Ishmaelites. The Arab nations. You go, no. No, it's if you'll pay attention, if you'll see God's work, this is the evil that's been going on in the world since the Garden of Eden. In fact, before that, when Satan said, I will put my throne above. I'll ascend above God. This is the spiritual warfare. Brother Ron, you can't look at everything spiritually. Yeah, you should. Because God puts pictures so that we can see what's going on and prepare us for what's coming. You better pay attention. This is not as bad as it's going to get. Have you heard this little thing going on? These little buzzes? Watch. World War III. Did you think it wasn't going to happen? You don't think we'll be drawn into it? You better pay attention. We're drawn. We're sitting in the big middle of it. Well, what's going to happen? God's working. But hear the cry of the people who are attacking. Hear the cry of the people in the United States who are saying, I'll kill Jews if I see them. Wait a minute, I thought it was about property. A brutish person would say, well, I really don't think this is going to affect us. A person who is not aware of God's working would say, he's trying to make something sensational out of this. No. When they're screaming, kill God's people. When they're screaming, yeah, we'll kill babies and we'll do it again. You better be aware God is working. He's moving. He's preparing. Remember when we were attacked and how people flocked to God singing on the steps of the Capitol? What a mockery. Now that same Congress is calling for the heads of Israel to stop. You need to let them do what they want to do. Don't be fooled. This is not about us. This is about God's plan. A person that does not see God working will sit and fret and worry and complain and not realize that those last three verses we just read, 7, 8, and 9, no, listen, God's enemies are going to be destroyed. They can rise up and say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. But in the end, God wins, period. And the people that are on God's side are going to win. Listen to what it says. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Isn't that just a great reason to be thankful? Why? When I'm on God's side and I'm walking with Him, my head will be lifted up. My ability to praise Him will go forth. My existence in eternity is settled because I'm on the right side. He will bless me in this life. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Up there earlier, he talked about in verse number 7, he talked about the wicked are as grass and they spring up. Isn't that true? The grass springs up. Don't you love it? In the spring, well, that's why they call it spring. And the grass springs up and it's all green. And then you mow it, and then it springs up again, and you mow it, and it springs up again. And that can go on endlessly if you get rain. If you don't, then you stop mowing. And the grass starts wilting away. But have you ever looked at the trees? The comparison is the wicked are going to spring up. But when a person meditates on God's word day and night, they shall be as a tree planted by the river of waters. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter number 15, without me ye can do nothing, but if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you want to be part of the strong and standing, or the cut down, withered grass? The brutish are like grass. The fools are like grass. Yeah, they look hardy now. They're loud now. There's a bunch of them now. But when God does His work, the only thing that'll be left standing are the trees. Because the trees are not fed by the short roots of grass. They're deep. And when they're deep in the deep thoughts of God, they're hardy. They grow steadily. They're like the palm tree, which is in that area, amazingly grows out of the desert. Oases spring up, and the cedars of Lebanon in the mountain are huge and beautiful and sturdy. What do you want to be? Grass or a tree? Well, I thank God that I chose to be a tree. How do I continue to grow and flourish? I put a word here that's not a word, but it's flourishship. To flourish and have fellowship with God. Because the more fellowship you have with Him, the more flourishing there will be in your life. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Why are we praising? Because God has designed this plan that no man can design. Here, Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When you and I dwell in Him, we're going to flourish. When we do not see Him working, we're going to be like grass, and we're going to spring up and be mowed down. Spring up and mowed down. Why do we have so many people that are so negative when they come to church or while they're out in the world? Why are people so negative about what they think or what they see or what they think they see going on? It's because they're unaware of God's work. Have you ever asked yourself this question? I wonder when such and such is going to happen. I know this is going to happen. I wonder when. Well, you know what? Here's what you need to know. God is always working, and it's going to happen because He said it's going to happen. That's why no man knows the day or the hour, because we couldn't figure it out if we wanted to. We're not smart enough. If it was spelled out, we'd still mess it up. Now, I don't believe that, Brother Ron. Well, you need to read Malachi. Because God told the children of Israel, this is going to happen. This guy's going to announce, and then suddenly the Messiah is going to be in His temple. You need to know that all three of those things happened, and they had no clue. God was working, and they thought Jesus, I don't know what they thought. When they finally determined, they said, we got to get rid of Him because He's the owner's son. He's going to take away our power. Brother Ron, you read your Bible and you see God work. When you get to the end of the Old Testament, you've got to see that God worked to get the children of Israel to that point. When you start in the New Testament, you've got to see by the time you get to Revelation that God is working everything out, and He's doing it not in a corner. But we're not paying attention. What would you rather be, grass or trees? If you're a tree, you're thankful. Why? Because you're going to flourish. Because you have an eternity. Now look at these last verses. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Why? They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. When I dwell in Him, watch, the older I get, the easier it is to be thankful for His loving kindness in the morning and to praise Him for His faithfulness in the evening. Because I know Him better. If you and I are not given to being thankful while we have opportunity to be thankful, it's not something we're going to develop later. That's why it's imperative that we teach children to be thankful. When our kids would get something, and I've seen this happen actually since I've been at Temple, and I won't say whose birthday parties or whatever gifts were given, because I don't remember that, but I do remember this. The mom is sitting there, and the kid opens it up, and he says, "Oh, I already got one of these." Or she says, "Oh, I don't need one of these. I have one of these." I've never seen a mom or a dad go, "Yeah, that's right. We don't need that. Just give it back to him." Usually they go, "That is not how we talk. You stop it." The kind guest says, "Well, do they have one? I mean, I'll take it back." And, "No, you will not." Why? Because anybody worth their salt knows if you don't teach your children to be thankful, they won't be thankful for anything, and they are not naturally given to being thankful. When you have a child that tells you thank you, it's shocking. Early, I'm talking about early. I'm not talking about now. It's shocking if they don't. But if a kid comes up to you and you give them something and you should say thank you, and then if they say if you give them something, they should say thank you, that's something that has to be taught. Do you know why you and I should be thankful for God's loving kindness? Because we need to teach others. And you know what our responsibility is as we become older? To teach others. You know how we do it? By coming to church thankful for His loving kindness in the morning and praising Him for His faithfulness at night. Being consistent, planted in the house of the Lord. Doing what we're supposed to do. Brother Ron, it's not that big of a deal that I come to church or I don't come to church. Actually, it is. Somebody needs you to be thankful that day. Somebody needs to see you praising that day. Somebody needs to hear your testimony that day of how good God is. When you're planted there and you start growing there, guess what? It opens up the avenue to know God there. We should come together for this purpose to know God. Remember, this is a psalm or song for the Sabbath, and it was sung when they went to the temple. They sang about the loving kindness of God and the faithfulness of God and how wise God is and how great His works are, and that His thoughts are so deep toward us, toward His working in the world, that He will defeat His enemies. These are all reasons that we can easily be thankful. And that we had part in that by just staying faithful to Him, knowing Him, growing in Him. This is why we have church. "Well, I thought it was for this." No. It's so that we'll do a good thing every day. Wouldn't you love to go to bed at night, pillowing your head, thanking God for His faithfulness and knowing that you did good? Because it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and sing praise to Thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. I think we need to do a good thing a little more often. When somebody asks us a question, our response should be not just some flippant, "Oh, God's good." But you know how good God's been to me this week? I just want to tell you what God's done. It may not be that big of a deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. One of the people that's very good at this, and I can say it because she's not here, is Miss Paula. When you talk to her, before she went for surgery, she kept enumerating all of the good things. You go, why are you using people as an example? Because she's a person in the church, and she's an example of this very specific thing of talking about God's goodness. I remember she wasn't worried. She wasn't defeated. She was thankful. No matter what happens, I'm thankful. Inner healing. Oh, and the Lord did this, and the Lord did this. Now look, are you going to have days you gripe and you're in pain? I'm pretty sure yes. But when it comes to recognizing that God is working around you, that takes relationship practice. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to believe that God is always working, and His works are so great. Oh, His loving kindness is unmeasurable, and His faithfulness is without end. You and I should easily, every day, do a good thing, because it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises to thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. Let me ask you this. Have you done a good thing today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around.